The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Just in time for Father's Day, Bubble Genius is proud to present their O-Balls Golf Ball Soap Gift Bucket. Due to popular demand, they've made a gift pack out of the same golf ball soaps that are in their Nice Pair 2-pack for all those dads who love golf. They come in a galvanized metal bucket with 8 balls, the perfect gift for the golf dad in your life. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order of balls. Only at BubbleGenius.com. Hey, let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Please welcome to the microphone the lieutenant of laughs, the officer of oral, the Westmoreland of wit, swinging Stephen Hawk.
Hello, Vietnam, and greetings. Soon the news. Then, Lieutenant Steve. Who's that? It's me, old pal Frenchie.
Listen, Frenchie. Let me ask you something. Do you like good food? Oh, but of course, the French love good food. Well, then I guess that would make you an Edie Gourmet. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Frenchie, you know, I really shouldn't kid Frenchie because sometimes he stand gets mad at me and he could out hurt. Lieutenant Steve, let's play some music. Okay, Frenchie, what would you like to hear? Well, I love a good polka as much as the next man. Well, a good polka it is for my good friend, Frenchie.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
That never gets old. It is Thursday, June 2, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That's Frenchie sitting right over there. Chez Pazienza, hi.
Hello.
We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Free legal advice. Everyone wants it. You can get it for free. TheBowenLawGroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or for the sake of convenience, just click the link on the podcast page.
Wouldn't it be great if, Bo's like advice is always pay me money? That's his free legal advice.
Just pay me first. Pay me first. Yeah.
Where's my money? I got a good answer for you. Pay me first.
I take credit cards. Give me your numbers. All right. Good show today coming up for you. At least I hope.
Oh, you
it
don't.
Will be.
You don't know that.
I have no idea. I'm predicting. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be the best show we've ever done.
It's going to be a tremendous show. It's going to be a very, very good show, believe me.
Believe me. Well, speaking of Trump, man, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton just destroyed Donald Trump today.
Yeah, she really did.
I mean, this was like Hillary Clinton as Juggernaut. There was no denying. She started that national security speech today and said, you know what? F you, Trump. I'm coming after you now. For the next 45 minutes, it is going to be a nonstop assault on Donald Trump. Yeah. So many things that he can't possibly respond to everything. We've got...
Yeah. I mean, it's angering.
Yeah.
That, and I know we've talked about this. It's angering that she even is in this position to begin with. That she has to face down a reality show clown.
That's right.
And that regardless of what she does, there is a substantial portion of the United States that will back this idiot.
What was fascinating about it is I felt like I was listening to Hillary Clinton recite lines from this show. I felt like she was saying things that we've all been talking about with regard to Donald Trump all along, and which, you know, she is finally starting to lay out point by point by point by point. And it was relentless. It was, I mean, Relentless doesn't even fully define how brutal it was on Donald Trump. And I hope that the fact that he's so thin-skinned will force him to really sit and stew about this.
Well, sure. I mean, his immediate response was on Twitter, of course.
Yes, of
course. You know, it was basically, look at Crooked Hillary. She's not even presidential. That's all he had.
Exactly. Bad performance by Crooked Hillary Clinton, reading poorly from the teleprompter, which is misspelled. She doesn't even look presidential.
There you go. Reading poorly. That's what he's got. He's got teleprompters and snide little Twitter comments. That's all he's got.
Doesn't look presidential. That's astonishing coming from Donald Trump, knowing how, you know, the guy's wearing a clown wig and talks about how he's got the best words. And he's judging whether or not Hillary Clinton looks presidential. And what we can only assume by that is the fact that, well, Hillary Clinton doesn't have a and therefore, she's never going to be presidential in the eyes of Mr. Oompa Loompa and his Oompa Loompa Club. That's exactly what he's saying. I mean, he thinks presidential means name calling and defrauding U.S. bondholders.
Yeah, and knowing nothing.
Yeah.
Knowing nothing. And lying, lying in a way that is... seriously, the magnitude of which is mathematically inexpressible.
Yeah, right.
The amount that man lies.
Yeah, and we're going to get to a story here in a little bit. CNN fact-checking Donald Trump in their lower third.
Yeah, I'm writing about that right now.
This is fantastic. Yeah, Trump thinks presidential is clown hair and saying believe me over and over again. What she actually needed to do was spend 45 minutes talking about how she's got the best words. She knows words. She has the best words.
I know words. I have the best words.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I hope because I can't think anymore. I can't, you know, you can't just blindly believe considering the fact that Trump has gotten as far as he has. But I would hope that Americans can look, that we still have enough intelligent people in this country to look at these two side by side and say, wow.
Yeah.
You know, look at just look at the difference.
That's right. I'm really, really hoping. And maybe it shouldn't come down to just hoping that the mouth-breathing masses of the United States actually see the differences. But that's what I hope they do, because the contrast couldn't be clearer between these two candidates. And it's obvious who, regardless of what party you identify with, what ideology you think you are, what your background is, you got to look at these things as basically a competition between who is going to be more disciplined. Ultimately, you're going to disagree with a candidate regardless of what party they are. You often disagree with the opposite side. But if there's a candidate or a president of the opposite party and they're behaving in a competent, non-embarrassing way, well, at least there's that. You don't have to worry about that candidate just completely embarrassing you by making a fool of himself. And that's exactly what Donald Trump will, absolutely, without a doubt, Donald Trump will embarrass all of us of every party, of every place along the ideological spectrum. Donald Trump is going to embarrass 320 million Americans by being president of the United States.
He absolutely is. And again, we've spoken about this, but the it's not just... there are very few actual policy proposals he has, because he changes his mind on a dime.
Yes.
Whatever he's talking about at any given moment, that's the truth to him. But it's the unspoken things that he can do, and the unspoken sort of the impact that he can have on this country just by being president. You know, destabilize this country, which destabilizes the world. I mean, the impact is just, it's almost, there are tangible things, but there are so many things that are intangible, so many things we haven't even thought of yet that this guy will ruin.
Right. And Hillary Clinton outlined a bunch of things. Here's Hillary Clinton toward the beginning of the speech. These, I actually have just two clips from Hillary Clinton's foreign policy address today, in which she at length discussed Donald Trump. And these were two of the, I think, the highlights of the speech. These were basically revealing how Hillary Clinton is going to attack Donald Trump. This is really effective, and I hope people are paying attention. Here's Hillary Clinton talking about how Donald Trump is completely unprepared for the job and temperamentally unfit to hold an office that requires, yes, knowledge. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton.
Americans aren't just electing a president in November. We're choosing our next commander-in-chief, the person we count on to decide questions of war and peace, life and death. And like many across our country and around the world, I believe the person the Republicans have nominated for president cannot do the job.
This is where it gets good, by the way.
Donald Trump's ideas aren't just different. They are dangerously incoherent. They're not even really ideas, just a series of bizarre rants, personal feuds, and outright lies.
Yep. Boom.
He is not just unprepared. He is temperamentally unfit to hold an office that requires knowledge, stability, and immense responsibility.
I mean, this, you want a taste of this. If this continues on, I'm going to just stop it here just for a second. This is the way the entire 45 minutes went. I mean, it was one thing after another. And when I, again, when I say juggernaut, I mean juggernaut.
This is not someone who should ever have the nuclear codes, because it's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading us into a war just because somebody got under his very thin skin.
There you go. Yeah. That's the first clip. Now, there's another one that, to me, defines how Hillary Clinton should attack Donald Trump from here on through November, the November election. And goddamn, this is we haven't seen this before in a general election where it's not just, well, I have a disagreement on the issues with my formidable opponent here. This is, my opponent is a complete moron who has no business even running for president, much less being president.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen this in modern history at the general election level, other than those ads, other than the mudslinging ads that we see every year that now recently come out from the super PACs. Other than that, we never see them hitting each other this brutally. But this is... This has to be done. I mean, I don't know any way around it. Hillary Clinton has to attack him like this.
Oh yeah, no, she needs to, it needs to be relentless. It has to be. It has to be just a perpetual series of blows against him.
Now, this is the imagery. This is what I highlighted for the Daily Banter today. This is the imagery that I hope sticks in people's heads. I hope this is Hillary Clinton's Daisy ad. If you remember the Daisy ad from LBJ versus Barry Goldwater in 1964, the ad with the nuclear explosion and the little girl picking the flower petals off the flower and then being annihilated. This is Hillary Clinton's version of the Daisy ad, just in spoken word form.
Now imagine Donald Trump sitting in the Situation Room, making life or death decisions on behalf of the United States. Imagine him deciding whether to send your spouses or children into battle. Imagine if he had not just his Twitter account at his disposal when he's angry, but America's entire arsenal. Do we want him making those calls? Someone thin-skinned and quick to anger who lashes out at the smallest criticism. Do we want his finger anywhere near the button?
Yeah, I mean, that's everybody's got to think about that. Think about Donald Trump and the way he behaved in the Republican debates. Now, superimpose that into the Situation Room. Superimpose that into the scene. I think there's been a meme going around Facebook where someone took that famous picture of Obama and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and all of his national security team in the Situation Room watching as Navy SEAL Team 6 went in and killed bin Laden. They replaced out all the heads with a would-be Donald Trump cabinet.
Mm-hmm. So Omarosa.
Yeah, and terrifying. I mean, talk about a terrifying image. Imagine Donald Trump, the guy from the Republican debates, the guy who says he's got the best words, the guy who says that Hillary Clinton doesn't have words, the guy who says that women should expect to be raped in military service for the United States of America because they've chosen to serve with men. That's the guy who's sending men and those women who he says deserve to be raped into harm's way, into combat. Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Donald Trump's going to bring the jobs. He's going to make America great again. Yeah. But there's no way he's going to do either of those things. All he's going to do is wreck havoc. It is going to be Donald Trump is going to spend 4 years, possibly less, because I don't imagine him serving out an entire first term without being impeached by his own party, no less. I mean, I could actually see the Republicans impeaching Donald Trump.
I don't know about that.
They are
spineless twerps.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, Paul Ryan has now backed Trump.
Yep. Paul Ryan.
They will choose party over country every time, even when they're genuinely, and they know, they have to know that they are putting the country at risk.
That's right. And you're right. Paul Ryan endorsed Donald Trump today. He said in an op-ed he wrote for his hometown newspaper in Wisconsin, he said, Donald Trump and I have talked at great length about things such as the proper role of the executive and fundamental principles such as the protection of life. The list of potential Supreme Court nominees he released after our first meeting was very encouraging.
Oh my God.
Jesus God, the proper role of the executive. I wonder if Paul Ryan was like, okay, Donald, here's what you got to do. Read Article 2. Are you familiar with the Constitution?
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to think happened. But of course, it was probably just Donald Trump holding court and Paul Ryan sitting there nodding with his Make America Great Again hat turned backwards.
He's bench pressing.
He added, quote, but the House policy agenda has been the main focus of our dialogue. Oh, great. Nothing's crazy about that. We've talked about the common ground this agenda can represent. We've discussed how the House can be a driver of policy ideas. Yes, what we really want is Louis Gohmert helping that process along.
What they want is power. I mean, and that's exactly what he said. He said that Trump is the one who will implement the House's agenda and platform.
Exactly. We've talked
about... I mean, never mind that he'll blow up the planet. But
that's right. God. And that, you know what? That's not so far from the truth. The fact that he'll blow up the planet. There's no doubt in my mind that if Donald Trump becomes president and he engages in some ridiculous knee-jerk war because someone made fun of him on Twitter, he is going to use what they commonly refer to as battlefield nukes. He's absolutely going to, I mean, should there be any doubt in anyone's mind? He is going to do that. He's going to do that against the advice of even his crackpot advisors who are going to be like, no, you don't have to, I don't care. I got to do this. It's going to be tremendous. We're going to see a big, beautiful mushroom cloud. Jesus God. Through these conversations, Paul Ryan went on to say, I feel confident he would help us turn the ideas in this agenda into laws to help improve people's lives. That's why I'll be voting for him this fall. Yes. Actually, no, this is the better sound for that.
What a raging
I know.
Spineless jerk.
Yeah, really. And that's what, I mean, what that is, what you just heard me say from Paul Ryan was basically Paul Ryan saying to Donald Trump, now I'm going to run the agenda. You just make sure you sit up there and sign that legislation when we send it to you. That's what he believes will happen. Because that, you know why? Because that's the bill of goods that Donald Trump sold to him. He's spitting into his hand and then shaking hands and saying, yeah, right. Okay, we did a good deal. We've got a good deal in place. It's fabulous. It's tremendous. Got a tremendous deal. Believe me, this is a very, very good deal I've cut with Paul Ryan. Yeah, sure, it's a good deal. Until he becomes president, ignores Paul Ryan, which probably isn't going to be a bad thing, but then just turns the White House into the executive bunker from which he starts. You know, it's going to be like a cult compound where all the decisions get made. He's only surrounded by sycophants, people who are just indoctrinated into the cult of Trump. And then all kinds of terrible, nightmarish things are going to come out of that. It's just going to be a hellscape. And in that respect, Hillary Clinton wasn't brutal enough. I mean, this is the most brutal speech I've heard a Democratic candidate deliver against a Republican candidate for president in my lifetime. I've never heard anything like this from a candidate before. And it wasn't brutal enough. I guess it's as brutal as she can get as, you know, a presidential candidate without looking unhinged like Donald Trump
right.
does.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I think Hillary's going to have to and God, man, just being a pundit, trying to in any way be a pundit or to predict what's going to happen this election season has been, it's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But I would assume that she has to be very stern, mm-hmm. but she should stay above the fray and let surrogates just destroy him.
That's right.
You know, in addition to her destroying him in ways like she did today, like picking him apart piece by piece, she can't get into it with him one on one because he's just going to be this, you know, he drags her down to his level and he wins.
That's exactly right. All right, we're going to take a break, talk about Harry's razors and come back. And Cenk Uygur is in the news again today. We're going to talk about that right after this.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so we're already up to June 2nd. It's only a matter of a couple of weeks until Father's Day. You know, when I first started shaving, my dad gave me a brief tutorial of do's and don'ts with the shaving razor. Unfortunately, he taught me that it's okay to use those blue plastic disposable blades. I get it, though. I mean, they're cheap. They kind of remove your hair from your face, although it's always painful. But no, bad idea. They're terrible for your face and even worse in a landfill. So naturally, I'm picking up a Harry's starter set for my dad. A Harry's shaving set will make the perfect Father's Day gift. It looks cool, it feels special, and it's something that dad will actually use. Dads can be impossible to shop for. You know this. You don't want to get another tie or a pair of socks he's never going to wear. But you also don't want to get something that's really practical that doesn't feel special enough to be a gift. Thankfully, Harry's has got you covered. While supplies last, Harry's is offering a special limited edition shave set for Father's Day. Get one for dad and get one for yourself, too. Harry's offers high-quality German-engineered shaves that are better for your face and your wallet. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC, that's BNBNC for Bob and Jess, for $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's Razors. That's HARRYS.com.
Summer music. Pow, pow, power.
The Bob and Jez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show. It's our Thursday show this week.
Mm-hmm. It is Thursday.
Yes. Tomorrow's
the... I don't know. Donald Trump may say that it's Wednesday.
That's right. No, it's not Thursday. It's Wednesday because
I have the calendar in front of me. The calendar's a hater.
Calendar's a Mexican.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Calendar's a Mexican. They're out to get me. But I want to make America great again by only making American calendars. What the hell are you talking about? Anyway, so CNN fact-checked Donald Trump in their lower third chyron today.
It was a beautiful thing.
More of that, please.
Yeah. I mean, Trump spokes Roger Stone has already targeted CNN. You know, he's already said that a President Trump would pull their FCC license, which is just hilarious on so many levels.
Right.
But I mean, that being said, that should be the carte blanche mm-hmm. for CNN to just do what it does, or not what it does, but what it's supposed to do, which is, yes, this guy lies relentlessly.
Right.
Relentlessly. And he counts on two things. He counts on just overwhelming you with lies to where you're literally stunned
mm-hmm.
and don't have the time or even the inclination to know where to begin responding.
Yeah, that's part of the strategy. That's what he does.
Yeah, and he lies live when they take his when they take his live rallies where you know he doesn't have anybody there to correct him, so he just BS's his way through it, and CNN's not going to cut away and say, all right, look, we have to stop this crap because this is bullshit. So they came up with a very, very clever way to correct him live as he was speaking.
Yeah, And the only problem with that is they're limited in terms of the number of words they can actually use. So the lower third said, the little graphic below Donald Trump said, Trump, colon, I never said Japan should have nukes. And then in parentheses, CNN types in, he did.
Yeah. I mean,
but of course he did.
It would be a beautiful thing if they just said, you know, Trump lies.
They'll never say that.
Yeah. But, you know, Trump lies about saying that Japan should have nukes.
Well, you know, they could actually just borrow some language from, and I'm saying this seriously, they should borrow some language from PolitiFact. The way PolitiFact is all at once brutal, but there's a level of decorum about it where they're not just scathing. Right. They say what needs to be said without being like, he's a liar! You know, it's just like they're just, okay, Trump was misleading when he said this. And yeah, that's what all the networks should be doing this. And what's funny about CNN is, on the Republican side, CNN gets the bad rap as being the Clinton news network.
Of course. Even though, by the way, it's just crap.
It is crap. And what's funny about that is a number of things, the main thing of which is CNN is like the least biased of all of the cable news networks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really difficult. There are, of course, there are panel discussions that are invariably balanced. I mean, they always have a couple of Republicans and they get a couple of Democrats in there. Usually it's like Van Jones and who else is the other one?
Donna
Brazile. Yeah, S.E. Cup on the other side. You know, they always have some sort of balance. But for the most part, during most of their broadcast day, it's usually straight up news. Plus, they're always showing Donald Trump's rallies. And now they've actually decided to do something about his perpetual cavalcade of lies.
Here's the thing. You know, here's something, another reason why I think, going back to Clinton, here's another reason, just from a media perspective and a news perspective, why it's a good idea for Hillary to attack Trump.
Yeah.
Because one negative, one vulnerability that Trump has given himself by being this press magnate, you know, this bombastic, you know, the guy who just demands press attention, this larger than life, whatever the hell he is figure,
right,
is that whenever Hillary Clinton attacks him, that will be news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she should be doing it constantly so that the angle that CNN can take is because they love the brawl. They do. They love that. The
exactly.
angle that CNN can take is for all of this stuff that he's been saying, and they catch him in a lie, and they, you know, they say that he's been misleading. They also can, you know, the follow-up can be like, oh, look, Clinton just hammered him today.
Yeah, and I think that's the only way, really, to keep Donald Trump off balance is to always seize the initiative, to always be on the offensive against Donald Trump, never allow him to do what he always does, which is like with the nicknames and the tweets and things like that, that he always tends to get publicity over. Obviously, the things that he blurts during his stump speeches. But if Hillary Clinton can keep relentlessly hitting him like this and not giving him a chance to respond to everything, she's going to just tie him in knots. And I think that's one of the best approaches to take. And likewise, I think it's an approach that the press can take in retaliation for really the fact that if Donald Trump becomes president, there are going to be a lot of people in the press who are going to either be out of a job or just summarily booted out of the White House press corps.
No, my piece for Banter Magazine this week was on his Tuesday press conference about the vets.
Yeah.
And how it's a preview of what his relationship with the press is going to be like should he ascend to, God forbid, ascend to the White House. And, you know, and I said, the idea that the Obama administration is a little bit secretive and it pisses off journalists, the idea that Hillary Clinton kept a private email server,
right,
those kind of things, they are going to seem like rose-colored nostalgia.
Oh, no,
compared to what a Trump administration would be like.
Yep.
Because a Trump administration would basically be Fox News is the state-run television network, the state-run network, and everybody else is pretty much on the enemy's list.
Right.
And you know, he would keep, you're talking about somebody who is disgustingly intensely private. He believes that nothing about him should ever be made public, especially not if it's something ugly. So this is a guy who has no choice, but he actually does have a choice. That's the thing. You know, up until now, we thought he has no choice. But here's a guy who is supposed to, the position of president is supposed to do all of their, all of what they do needs to be accountable to people and to the public and to the press.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who, like, everything you see in public is going to be a lie, mm-hmm. and everything done in private will be kept completely secret because he doesn't like people asking questions about what he does.
That's right. And he will use all of his powers as president of the United States, God help us all, to make sure that his private life remains private, that his private decisions and all of his megalomania remains private, and that, you know, he's able to exercise carte blanche as president of the United States and do whatever the F he wants to do. And that specifically is going to be taken out on the press corps. I mean, the press is going to be enemy number one, other than the Democrats.
Yeah, and he's already said that. I mean, he's going to sideline the press.
Right, right. I mean, Roger Stone, as you said, has already threatened to take away FCC licenses and things like that.
Trump has threatened to, quote unquote, open up libel laws.
Exactly. And see, to me, if you are a White House reporter, or if you are part of the, if you've been assigned to Donald Trump as part of his press pool, it is your responsibility, if at the very least, to your families, to your own livelihood, to make sure that this guy doesn't become president. And I'm not talking about wheeling out any sort of bias. I'm just talking about not letting this guy get the upper hand, to not continue to shame and scold and ridicule you and take away your First Amendment rights to report on exactly what he's doing. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to eliminate
that. Did you see Dan Rather's Facebook update?
I didn't.
From a couple of days ago?
No.
Look, you know what? I get it. I get that, you know, Dan Rather went out on a somewhat ignominious note. But you know what? He's a pretty freaking stand-up journalist for most of his career. And he's certainly the elder statesman in terms of that. And he wrote this great piece that was basically, you know, that said exactly what we're talking about here. Trump is someone who is dangerous.
Right.
And he is dangerous to press freedoms. And that's why it's more imperative than ever before that journalists do their job and don't, as he said, he's like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this guy.
Yeah.
Just attack him relentlessly whenever he deserves it, you hit him and you hit him hard because that's your job.
Oh, yes. That's exactly right.
Be fearless.
Right. And that's, I outline, it's funny, we both wrote about basically the same thing. I wrote about it for Salon and you wrote about it for Banter. I wrote a thing in Salon about how the press can counterattack Donald Trump. And the problem with the press at this point is they're still playing by the old, you know, election season script that we see each and every 4 years. And the problem is that Donald Trump isn't playing by that script. He's written his own script and they're still covering him as if he's playing the old script. He's not Romney. He's not Obama. He's not McCain or he's not John Kerry. He's not even George W. Bush. He's doing his own thing. He's playing this like a reality show, like a Twitter troll would do. That's exactly his entire show. It's more of a psyop than a campaign, really.
That's good. Very clever.
He's manipulating his people. He's manipulating the press. He's doing it very, very well. He's doing a tremendous job manipulating the press. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the press needs to, one, throw away the script. The next thing they should do, keep him off balance. You know, when he's controlling the narrative, that's when he's at his best. When they're keeping him off balance, that's when he's at his worst. That's when he has to perform media triage. That's what, like when he was, you know, the whole veterans scandal and that entire press conference that he held the other day was an example of that. He should also, the press should use his greatest weakness against him, which is that he loves the praise. So praise him and then jab him. And then ultimately, and this goes to what Dan Rather was saying, don't be afraid to walk out. I get it. The news media is all about gaining access. It's all about having access to the people you need to cover. But remember that Trump needs the press as much as the press needs Trump to a certain respect. So don't be afraid to en masse just say, yep, turning off the cameras, walking out the door. Of course, it's the hardest thing to do to get everyone to agree to do that because everyone has to do it at the same time. So I'm not saying that's the easiest thing in the world to get done. But I think at some point, you know, you have to stop behaving like codependent and brutalized spouses here and actually take a stand and walk the F out the door and leave him standing there naked and awkward, not knowing what the hell to do because his bread and butter just left. You know, and his bread and butter is the press corps.
You know, look, he's got, again, he has state-run TV.
Yeah.
he has Fox News.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
He has Fox News and he has talk radio. And he will continue to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the issue with Fox News, is that the people in that bubble, you know, they're not going to care that CNN put up a banner that corrected Trump. They're not going to hear the corrected version.
That's true.
They absolutely will not.
After we break, I want to talk about how exactly he gets around that, how that works, because that's to me the secret of it all. How do you break through the bubble and convince those people too? And I don't know if it can be done, but I think it's possible. Going to take a break and come back with more show right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you, as always, by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you. I thought I'd do that in character for Jay.
Nice. Well, and what was the character?
I have no idea.
Radio guy.
Radio anchor guy. Radio announcer guy. All right. How do you get this message? How does the press, how do the Democrats, for that matter, break through that bubble? And I believe...
Here's the thing. I'm not sure they need to.
Yeah.
I'm really not. You know really? What? We talk a lot about, and look, Fox News can set a narrative. There's no doubt about it. Certainly mm-hmm. within Republican circles. Absolutely within Republican circles.
Yeah.
But when you break it down, you are still talking about a network that day-to-day has hundreds of thousands of people watching. A couple of shows have a couple million.
I see. Yeah. I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
You know, of the 320 million people in this country, that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing. It's an overall narrative that makes that more people sort of subscribe to and adhere to.
Yeah, I mean, but a good many of them, and I think it's not just Fox News Channel, and I totally get your point, and I agree with most of it. My concern has less to do with Fox News Channel and more to do with AM talk radio.
I think you're right, yeah. Well, that's, you know, again, that's a lot of people, sure.
There are so many male baby boomers who have reached 65 or older who are just, I mean, in lieu of actually working anymore, because a lot of them are retired now, they just sit and they listen to AM talk radio around the clock. And the centerpiece is always Rush Limbaugh. They're listening to this guy all the time. How do you, and again, these people, no surprise, these are the ones who vote. 65 plus, those are the people who go out to the polls every single time because there's nothing else to do. I mean, I hate to put it in those terms, but that's kind of why they vote more than any other block, because they have the spare time in which to focus on the issues, to focus on following the campaign, and then to go out on election day and vote. So how do you get them? How do you tell them? And I think there is an opening on Fox News Channel, because Fox News Channel is currently stuck in this phantom zone between fully supporting Trump like they would normally do to a Republican presidential nominee and being really, really skeptical about Trump. They're on the fence right now. I mean,
I don't know if they are, though. I genuinely don't.
Do you think it's an act in order to bring in the Trump people?
I think that, like everyone else in the Republican Party, I think that once the decision has been made, that's it. Trump is their guy. And I think that's one of the reasons why Ailes, in spite of stepping to Trump when Trump was a real to Megyn Kelly, and putting on a big show about standing up to him and puffing his chest.
Yeah.
I really think that it doesn't matter because Trump is still Trump. He's still the Republican nominee. So he's got the giant bullhorn on Fox and douches in the morning.
Yeah.
He's got he's got Hannity. Jesus Christ. Hannity, honestly, mm-hmm. Hannity may as well, his show may as well just open with a shot of him sucking Trump's And it's nothing but that for 53 minutes.
Right. For the first 5 minutes of that 53 minutes would be trying to find it first and then going to town.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just you know, he's the worst of the servile suck-ups.
Yeah, really.
And I think Trump has even kind of hit him about that, like kind of teased him a little bit about how clearly he has his fucking mouth around Trump's.
Yeah,
but I mean, so what I'm saying is, you may have some people there who are kind of you know what, they throw a little insult Trump's way or whatever. But I guarantee you, like everything else at Fox, the edict comes down from the top, and that's it. That's what everybody lives by, and the edict is that Trump is the guy.
Really, the big difference between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans will gather around a circus clown like Donald Trump. But imagine if the Democrats nominated, I don't know, a ticket that was, say, Cornel West and Alan Grayson. There was the West Grayson ticket for president. And I can assure you that ticket would fail badly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, God, it's such a conflict. I mean, I think most Democrats would be torn. I mean, I think we would really revolt against something like
Democrats,
that.
Democrats, for better or worse, and sometimes it's worse, but let's face it, Democrats are overly analytical and pride themselves on being independent, on being independent analytical thinkers.
Right, right.
Which can be really good sometimes. You know, it makes them less susceptible to BS. Uh-huh. It makes them less susceptible to just blind ignorance, but it also makes them less susceptible to blind faith, to blind adoration.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it can also, we've seen what it can do when, you know, you get a bunch of Democrats who start, you know what, I kind of didn't like that he did this one thing that upset me, so I'm just going to sit over here in a corner and be snippy about it.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, have we seen that time and time again?
But the Republicans stay on message. Even when they're in the middle of a party civil war right now, and for the most part, they're all going to back down and support this fucking piece of shit.
They really, really are. And you know what? On the Democratic side, I don't think defeating Trump would be enough to propel enough Democrats to supporting a kind of a lunatic fringe liberal ticket either. Yeah. And I think that's the major difference.
I don't know if Clinton will do it, but I'd almost like to hear her call out the Republican Party. I don't know if she can, because I think that part of what she's pitching to right now is she's pitching to the Republicans who are dissatisfied with Trump.
That's right.
They know the danger. But I would, just the satisfying myself, there's a big part of me that would love to hear her hammer the Republicans and say, you know what, they have fallen in line behind this reality show clown, and they've done it knowing that he's dangerous.
That's right.
And what that means is that they have put the future of the country, they put the country at risk in an effort to secure party power and party unity.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's inexcusable. That's not government governing.
Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, I do think Hillary Clinton is speaking directly to the middle, to the undecideds in the middle. And I'm not speaking necessarily of the politically centrist. I'm talking about the people who don't know for sure which way they're going to go. They're not ideological people. They decide based on the day, basically walking into the voting booth, they decide who they're going to vote for. And those are the people who, in this modern era, decide elections. And Hillary Clinton is the only candidate running for president right now who speaks directly to them, and that is, for better or worse, that is smart politics. The left might not like it. The center left is a little bit more okay with it, but this is what has to be done. This is what it's going to have to be done to beat Donald Trump. So Hillary Clinton's challenge is going to be to keep the far left and the center left happy while communicating directly to the needs and interests of the undecideds right there in the middle, in those purple states where everything is going to fall into place on election day or not.
And then, by the way, kind of like you referenced earlier and Clinton's speech, that 3 a.m. phone call ad, that thing writes itself.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this is something I think they should really turn this. It was the second quote that we played from Hillary Clinton today. They need to turn that into a commercial. They need to dramatize that. Turn that into sort of one of these, true crime specials on cable television, where they have like video, like maybe surveillance video of a guy playing Donald Trump pissing his pants in the goddamn Situation Room. you know, just having a hissy fit over some foreign leader insulting him on Twitter and then bombing the hell out of them. Just make it into another Daisy ad. I can't imagine an election with bigger stakes and more worthy of something like that than this one. Maybe going back to 64. But in absence of all of that, now is the time for something like that. So just pull out the big guns. Do sure. the commercial. Dramatize this. I think that would be a great idea.
Do the commercial with a bunch of his quotes, a bunch of the things that he's done, a bunch of his obvious temperament issues right there on display, and just say it. A thin-skinned bully, misogynist, con man, reality show clown, mm-hmm. Twitter troll, leader of the free world.
Right.
Imagine that. Just imagine for a minute all of those qualities that Donald Trump embodies as the leader of the free world.
Right. And remember, this is the guy, and again, this is fresh in my mind because I looked it up today and included it in my article for the Daily Banter about Hillary Clinton's speech. This is something that Trump actually typed in and published on Twitter. It's still available for all to see. This is the guy who's going to support the military. This is going to be the commander-in-chief if he's elected. This is what he wrote on Twitter. 26,000 unreported sexual assaults in the military, only 238 convictions. What did these geniuses expect when they put men and women together? So that is doubly insulting. That is insulting to every member of the United States military. This is insulting to the men, assuming that the men are all rapists. It's insulting to the women who, decided to go in the military in the first place and deserve to be raped because they wanted to be in the military with the men who are all rapists. Yeah. That is so, it's unspeakable how offensive that is. Not just to the military, but to all of us. We've all got friends and family members who've been in the military at some point or another.
Trump's Twitter feed is, I think I said this on Tuesday, Trump's Twitter feed is like, it's like some sitting at a bar.
Right. Oh, yeah, just, God. Yeah.
What do these geniuses expect? They put men and women together.
I know.
You can see that. You can see some idiot in a baseball, in a red baseball cap, just holding court. Holding court. Or, Archie Bunker, holding court how he sees the world.
Right. And in that view, in that worldview, Trump sees the United States military as full of male rapists and women who deserve to be raped by them.
Yep.
That's what this goddamn tweet says. This is the guy who wants to make America great again. Okay, one last break, back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
I know words. I have the best words.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey, welcome back to today's show. Thank you. I just looked it up, and this tweet is from May 7th, 2013. And Sleep Tight America, it only has 3,400 likes.
Good Lord.
By the way, there is a study that determined most rape victims in the U.S. military are men. Just throwing that out there. Good job, Donald Trump. Completely effing incompetent. Okay, speaking of incompetent, I kind of, you know, yeah, I'll just be the first to admit that I kind of have a jihad out against Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks. And it's because he spent so much energy a couple of years ago. Right. In fact, a couple months after Donald Trump delivered that tweet, spent a lot of time trying to smear my character on his show with his gigantic audience of YouTube people and podcast listeners and Sirius XM listeners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Over the whole Snowden thing and my alleged fealty to Barack Obama. The whole point of what Cenk was saying and attacking me for was because Cenk has always thought that I've got, that I'm just like the supreme Obama bot, that I am the leader of all and king of all Obama bots. But the irony
and
here...
And he, of course, hammers you when, you know, hammers you if you deny it.
That's right. And whereas prior to that, I used to be on the show all the time. I used to be on the Young Turks as almost a regular guest and until that all went down. And then the phone stopped ringing. Cenk refused to have me on the show to defend my positions on all of these things because he knew that, like, for example, one of the things I would do was talk about how he was dealing in misinformation. He was using rumors and he was using estimates and gamed out scenarios that weren't actually real in order to deliver facts about what was happening with things like underground cables and tapping into those and different NSA things that he wasn't completely privy to. That just turned out to be, I put it all together in one particular article that basically made Cenk the end user in a long game of telephone where the facts of a particular story changed and morphed. And by the time they got to Cenk, they were completely wrong. But he was reporting those facts anyway. So regardless, that's why I find Cenk's support, his unwavering support for Bernie Sanders to be so curious. And to a certain respect, infuriating and hypocritical. And so today, Tommy Christopher from the Daily Banter reported on this. I guess it was a Skype chat that Cenk was involved in, where he was asked point blank whether or not he has a Bernie Sanders bias, a pro Bernie bias. Here's Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks.
Question I had to do was: do you consider yourself biased for Bernie?
No.
In case you missed it, the questioner asked, do you consider yourself biased for Bernie? And Cenk's answer is no.
The question I asked you was, do you consider yourself biased for Bernie?
No. Let me be clear about this. I have a perspective on her. Anybody who watches the show knows.
Okay, the correct answer is yes. And further to that, elaborating on his yes... Yeah, I'm a surrogate for Bernie Sanders. I've used my show, The Young Turks, to pitch for Bernie Sanders. And you know what? At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with that. You support right. The candidate you support, and you're obvious about it.
You know, but here's the funny thing: everyone who calls himself a journalist,
mm-hmm.
Bill O'Reilly's a great example
yeah.
of this. You can't. Secretly, no matter how biased you may be or even how much of a jerk you may be, you know that people won't genuinely take you seriously or at least won't say they're taking you seriously if they don't believe that you're calling it like you see it.
Right.
That you're objective to a certain extent and that you're telling the truth. Because otherwise, why would they listen to you on certain subjects?
Exactly.
Why? Why bother?
Yep.
So what Cenk is doing here is he's trying to maintain the illusion of objectivity.
That's right.
Which is just crap.
He's basically...
It's just crap.
Basically what he says here is that he's only supporting Bernie by default because his show, and I assume he himself, have a progressive worldview. And that's... And because Bernie Sanders has a progressive worldview, therefore...
So that means you are biased toward Bernie.
Exactly! Exactly. Yes. That equation...
The answer was... Yes, and then all of that crap.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Right. But instead, it's no, but kind of yes anyway. Here, let's continue with this here.
And my perspective is progressive. Now, if you're a progressive and you want the most progressive candidate, now you could be a progressive and have other priorities, right? But if you want the most progressive candidate, it's a no-brainer. No-brainer. It's not even close. It's obviously Bernie Sanders. So I would be lying to my audience if I said, oh, I'm neutral. I can't tell who's more progressive. I would lose their trust and their faith because they'd say, what do you mean you can't tell who's more progressive? That's the most obvious thing in the world. What kind of knucklehead are you?
Yeah. See, now this doesn't make any sense because what he's saying is, no, I'm not biased for Bernie, but I am biased for Bernie, and here's why.
Yeah, what I just said. Yeah, exactly. He is completely biased for Bernie. He's biased for Bernie because he considers Bernie to be the most progressive candidate. That's the correct answer, you jag off.
Exactly. So why does he...
Where's the plane?
You know, this goes back...
Because, again, even though he's progressive, and he says that, he has to maintain some sort of illusion that he's honest.
Right. But, you know, this goes back to a discussion that was had during, I don't know, Political Blogosphere 1.0. And it was, I think it was initially started by Ariana Huffington, who said that, you know, there's nothing wrong with bias as long as you're upfront about your bias. And I, you know what, I mostly agree with that. So I don't understand why, I mean, other than the involvement of alcohol, I don't know why else someone would say, no, I'm not biased for Bernie, but then because I'm progressive, I'm of course biased for Bernie.
Where's the plane?
Or biased for Hillary Clinton or biased for Donald Trump or whoever. I mean, just be perfectly clear, Bernie is not the issue here. This is just a matter of why is he being deceptive about his bias when he's... He says no, and then he says yes.
Yeah, of course.
Because he is. And just be honest about it. Just be honest about the fact that those of us who deal in opinion journalism have, you know, opinions. I just happen to think that Barack Obama has been a pretty damn good president. And frankly, 52% of the American people agree with me right now.
Yes, I am biased toward Barack Obama because I do think that he's been a fantastic president.
That's right.
I may have my arguments with him on certain things, but overall, because that's how you respond when you're smart,
exactly.
Is you don't just nitpick over every little thing.
Right.
You have to look at the overall picture, and overall, he's been an excellent president. His temperament is terrific. His intelligence is terrific. The fact that he comports himself with such class and grace is just... God damn, that is a thing of beauty, and a rare thing of beauty.
If I said it was, I've said it 1,000 times. All the people who have criticized Barack Obama from his left flank for the last 8 years, for the next at least 4, you're going to be going, man, I wish Obama was still president. You know, of course, they're going to still qualify it by saying, well, there were some things I disagreed with him about, but I wish he was still president. Well, that's the idea. That's the whole idea. That's what you're supposed to do. All right, the Postmortem Show is next. If you're listening on Patreon, keep listening. It's coming up next. Patreon.com/Bob and Jess. Support the show. Thanks. See you on the after party tomorrow. Bye.